number of mortgages made.
I think our show is important, and the things we have to talk about are very relevant and important right now to the world, to the election, maybe, and to what happens, whether or not perhaps we have nuclear war, whether or not we have these continued insane wars. Trump is saber-rattling, saying that he wants to blow up the oil fields and the nuclear weapons in Iran, or let Israel do so. He is saber-rattling against Russia today, and he has supported, and this is another point that we have to make, that I did support him along with Dr. Patrick Slattery. By the way, Patrick Slattery is my guest today, as he is quite often. Patrick, welcome to the show. Great to have you with me.
Well, thank you for having me once again for maybe the 2,000 or 3,000th time.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate your commentary and your thoughts and your insights, because you have a lot of them. So, both of us supported Trump for president for good reasons, because of his promises, because he had a different rhetoric than any Republican previously, other than maybe me talking about putting America first. And by the way, that was a Lindbergh comment, and that was really about keeping America out of the Second World War, by the way, which is interesting because all these things tie in. And I do think that the position of this country and whether or not we go to war, not only from the standpoint of the existential disaster it would be to go into a nuclear war with Russia, which is certainly possible, but the threat of that is a real threat. And Donald Trump, to me, seems to have gone completely over to the same Jewish establishment that was behind his impeachment. It was behind and trying to destroy him. It's like he threw in the towel and he said, I can't fight him. I'll just join him. And yeah, there's been a series of disappointments since 2016. And one of the things I've been talking about, well, I've been talking a lot about the fact that we have to stop this genocide in Gaza, of course, and the great threat of nuclear war or wider war, economic destruction for the people of the United States, people of Europe, people of the world, at the least, not counting maybe even the destruction of thousands of Americans in a hot war with Iran, we have a situation where it seems to me that Trump, and I'm not saying that we don't have a threat from Biden, but some of the things that are happening have really caused me to morally not be able to vote for Donald Trump this time. And one of the main reasons for myself is I have a lot of connections in my life, years of work and study and friendships and so forth in both Russia and Ukraine. I got my doctorate in Ukraine. I already am aware of different students of mine who have been informed by their parents or other friends that they're dead now in this war. And it's one of the great failures of Donald Trump from the beginning in 2016 is he followed up after the Maidan Revolution. And this was in 2014, but in 2016, when he won the election, he absolutely caved and stood by with his hands in his pockets, supporting the mass murder of thousands and thousands, 14,000, according to Wikipedia, if that's accurate, I think it is, hundreds of thousands of high explosive shells and incredible bombings of the villages and towns of eastern Ukraine and destruction of people. Trump, basically, as president, supported the continuing buildup of NATO, the policies and so forth that he said he originally opposed. And this has led now, and of course, to this war, which was initiated by the United States, basically. And well, not just basically, it was initiated by the United States, who did the Maidan Revolution and then supported the Zelensky material. And the United States has caused the death now, it appears, the best knowledge that we have is that perhaps 500,000 young Ukrainians, a whole generation of young Ukrainians, has now perished. Probably another 500,000 wounded and crippled, blinded, disfigured, destroyed, basically, and their families in this horrific war in Ukraine that Donald Trump enabled as much as Democrats did. He stood by and didn't say a word in opposition to it, even though he promised to try to be friends with Putin, which we should have been, and we should be even today. And it's really scary. Now, there's a couple of articles in Russia Today that are important. I quoted some. I'm going to quote some more to you about that in a minute or so. But I'll give you one example. So there was an article in Russia Today, and again, they quote Donald Trump from other major sources, not what they say. It's what major media said, right? And they give some quotations of Donald Trump, how he understands that the lies that existed in terms of Ukraine and the fact that the whole war was a loser, that there was no way the Ukrainians were going to win the war. And that is unbelievable to think about, because he helped create the ability for the war. Because while he was president for those 4 years, he was enabling this terribly, I think, cretinous, is the wrong way I can say it, insane policy that Russia is guilty of aggression here, where the real aggression was a racist, even genocidal campaign of Kyiv and the Jews who ran Washington, D.C., and who run Washington, D.C., and our State Department, and the Jews who run the media against their enemies, Russia, and they were very not reluctant to sacrifice how many Ukrainians they could to kill as many Russians as they could. And now they've killed probably 500,000 Ukrainians, a whole generation, and most of these are kind of patriotic Ukrainians, even though they've been told that it's patriotism to go against Russia, when the real patriotism would have been to be friends with Russia and to be neutral and not have war, but be able to do their lives and do their educations and do their businesses and have their country. This has been a terrible, terrible disaster. So here's some of the quotes that I would like to give you real quickly and get your comments. So this listen to this, okay? So, quote, if you watch his words in the run-up to the conflict, his words were the exact opposite of what he should have been saying. This is from Russians, by the way. He instigated that Vladimir Putin is no angel, but everything Biden did was wrong. Trump pointed out that should never have happened instead of fighting between Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine leader Vladimir Zelensky, and this is a quote, is one of the greatest salesmen I've ever seen. This is Donald Trump. Every time he comes into the U.S., we give him $100 billion. Who else got that kind of money in history? The former president stressed. This does not mean that I don't want to.
Who else did? Israel did.
Yeah, Israel did, of course. That's a good point. And this does not mean I do not want to help him, because I feel very badly for those people in Ukraine. But he, Zelensky, should never have let that war start. That war is a loser. Well, Trump's responsible for this war too. He badmouthed the Russians. He didn't say a word against the murder of 14,000 Eastern Ukrainians by Jewish-controlled government of Ukraine and the Jewish-controlled American administration that was backing Ukraine, supported all these things. And he says, he said, I met with Zelensky the other day in New York in late September. I have a great relationship with Putin and with Zelensky, said, but without elaborating exactly how he's going to pressure, he said he's got a pressure. And then, of course, the thing I just quoted to you where he said that he was going to hit Moscow where it hurts. I'm going to hit you right in the middle of freaking Moscow. You're not going to believe it. If you go after Ukraine, I'm going to go hit you so hard. But Zelensky went after Ukraine, after the people of Eastern Ukraine, and mass murder, genocidal and racist. This was a racist attack. In fact, it's ironic when we talk about racism and white supremacism and everything. It's Jewish supremacism that rules us. And the hatred against Russians constantly, Russian atrocities, Russian this, Russian that, is nothing more than vicious racism against the Russian people, with Jews, which Jews have hated for generations, along with hating Ukrainians. I pointed out dozens and hundreds of articles by Jews about how much they hate Ukraine, how much they hate the Cossacks, which is the symbol of Ukraine. One writer in Jerusalem Post talks about going to Kyiv and risking his life with this busy traffic circle so he could go spit on the statue of Chmelnytsky, one of the patron saints of the Cossack Ukraine. I can show hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of articles, actually, from Jewish media about how the Ukrainians were genocidal, how they were absolute nothing more than mass murderers of Jews. They don't talk about the Jewish mass murders of Ukrainians. They don't talk about the Jewish mass murder of the Holodomor under Tsar Kaganovich. But it's just really amazing. And whatever Trump says, it's like, how in the world can he not be held responsible for these things? And I care. Unlike these Jews that run our State Department and the Jews that run our media, I care about these 500,000 Ukrainians who died. I care about the upwards of 100,000 either killed or wounded of Russians. I care about the destruction of the European economy and the middle class of Europe and the people that sustain European life and well-being. Because I think that we all have to. And I care, just as I care about the people in Gaza that are being mass murdered. And I think to talk about the Gazan genocide, and yes, it has some parts of it that are unbelievable, the destruction of probably 70% of their homes, their businesses, their schools, their life, their abodes, their homes. And you talk about how at least 65 to 2/3 to 3/4 of the dead are innocent women and children. This is a horrific thing, and it's terrible to kill women and children, as mothers and their children, and for families to be wiped off the map. It's terrible for that to happen. But we have to understand very clearly, it is really terrible also to kill a whole generation of young men, which are needed by the women of the country and needed by their kids, as well as whatever kids have died in the struggle. And it's a shocking thing to think that Trump is saber rattling on this whole issue, even right now, days before the election. What do you think?
So I've heard Donald Trump talk about threateningly to Russia. And a few months ago, I heard him on multiple occasions. Was it at rallies? He was saying that this would have never happened if he were president. Okay. He said that he talked to Putin. He had a good relationship with Putin. But he said, look, if you move into Ukraine, something very bad is going to happen. It's going to be very, very bad. It's indicating that he had threatened him. And then he said, and, you know, I don't know if Putin believed me. Maybe he believed me 10%. Maybe he believed me 5%. But, you know, 5% is enough. 5% is enough. Now, so when he framed it that way, it didn't sound so bad. It didn't sound so threatening. He sounded kind of reasonable. But the way it's being reported now, or the way he's talking about it now.
Well, the way he talked about it to the Wall Street Journal is as threatening as you can get. I'm gonna bomb the middle of freaking Moscow, and it's gonna be so bad you're not gonna believe how bad it's gonna be unless you know.
Whatever. Yeah, with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's always recounting conversations. He said to me, sir, everybody's always calling him sir, except for the leader of the Taliban who called him Your Excellency. But Your Excellency, why do you send me a picture of my own house? Which was actually kind of funny, but then again, it's not funny when you think about it. What Trump actually said to Putin, to what extent he actually threatened Putin, who knows? But what's significant is that some months ago, Trump was portraying this in a much more reasonable manner. That, oh, we had a good relationship, and I kind of threatened him, and he probably didn't believe me, but still, he just thought better safe than sorry. That's the way he was portraying it a few months ago, and now he's portraying it as I threatened to annihilate Moscow. So whatever the underlying truth
about
is,
it in a, put that in aside, the most radical way that he can, right?
He's now portraying himself as somebody willing to go for World War III.
As a maniac.
Over what? Over Ukraine? And if not over Ukraine, he certainly, how about over Israel, his best friend forever? I don't know if it was before we were recording or after we were recording, but you mentioned that his first term, he just got beaten at every pass by these Jews. And he was coup d'etat and Jew d'etat, and they did, he wanted to try to make a relationship with Putin and with Russia, and he was prevented. He was prevented by this thoroughly Jewish Russia scandal, right? And then he wound up sending offensive weapons to Ukraine, something that even Obama had not done. And so he was manipulated by these Jews into a very bad relationship with Russia. So, you know, he's been beaten at every turn. I'm getting a whole bunch of messages from you. I don't know why. I don't think you're sending me messages. They must have come. They must be delayed. They're kind of distracting me. I kind of lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that. Somebody else who was trying to call me or trying to message me during the show, and I didn't mean that.
Yeah, but what's significant is his change of tone, and you know, it's also coming at a time when he's bragging about being in regular contact with Bibi Netanyahu, and Bibi Netanyahu's he's got to do what he wants to do. He's got to do it. He wants to do it, and he's got to do it. And this is very alarming. I remember because you had said that it seems like he's just come to the point. Well, if you can't beat him, join him. And that's the wrong lesson. The lesson that we had hoped he had learned is that they were attacking him and that hamstringing him. And that he should come out against them. But no, he learned the other lesson. If you can't beat him, join him. And if he's going to join him, he's of no use to us anymore.
Well, absolutely. And he's of no use to us as a Trojan horse, where he's absolutely, you know, supporting. And again, I'm trying to communicate the different situation, but I'm having so much trouble with my connection. It's just interesting. I'm trying to communicate these people to stop calling me on our connection, but they don't seem to get the message. And every time I try to send them a message, it comes up with a chat with you. There we go.
So Skype's gotten kind of messed up. Just a little aside. So yesterday I was trying to listen to Judge Andy Napolitano, right? The Judging Freedom show, which, by the way, you know, I looked at him up in Wikipedia. He's a libertarian. And I was thinking, why didn't he run for president as a libertarian? Not that he's the smartest guy, but he certainly has good character judgment. Look at the people on his guest list, and then look at the people that Trump appointed to his cabinet. I mean, there's a massive night and day difference of judgment of character. But at any rate, I was trying to listen to Judge Andy's show, and it was insisting I sign into YouTube in order to make sure I'm not a bot and to keep their community safe. Well, then, of course, you know, I try to sign into YouTube, but my YouTube account was canceled 5 years ago for being racist, so they wouldn't let me sign into YouTube. So is this a new form of censorship that we're going to get? Anyway,
I don't know. That's a good
question.
Sorry
to interrupt.
But that's not a problem. I want to get into a couple other things here if I can. This is really important, of course, because, again, what is more important? I mean, again, I've gotten criticism from leftists because I always say, well, you're helping, you know, you're helping Donald Trump rather than hurting him because you're supporting a person who's going to take votes away from Kamala Harris. And then the right people, some people on the right, not many, but some people on the right, especially those that are very aware of the Jewish question, aren't very critical at all. In fact, they're supportive of my stance here and your stance as well, Doctor. They're saying, you know, the opposite. Well, you know, we certainly can't have Kamala. Yet how much difference is it going to be? And I try to explain that there's really some important things on the line here. Where morally do we stand? I mean, do we really vote for someone who has supported this mass genocide of our fellow Europeans if we're truly in favor of preserving our European brothers and sisters and culture? Do we really vote for some man who's really been supporting openly the genocide of Israel against the Palestinians, who are certainly the victims of Jews? Are we really willing to support a man? We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Out of control, but they certainly believe very strongly that they like Trump because of that position, and here's their hero for whatever reason who survived the assassination, but or whatever attempts, and yet he's absolutely supporting the very deep state, the very element who has been the architect, the source of the destruction of European mankind and really of the United States Jewish minority control over this country and their influence and damage in these wars all over the world and their tyranny that they've tried to exert all over the world, which they're trying to replicate the insanity that they've been inflicting upon Europe and America, destruction of family, mass immigration, all the other issues that are so destructive of us, they're trying to inflict on the rest of the world as well. And throw the world into chaos and against their own, you know, rights and freedoms. They're the supporters of banks like Goldman Sachs that commits a national, international fraud, criminal, bribery, conspiracy, and they're convicted of it in American courts. And yet there's no calling out of Goldman Sachs by the major media and saying, we're going to sanction Russia, but we're not going to sanction Goldman Sachs. It bankrupts the healthcare system of a whole country, Malaysia. And ruins the reputation of America and it commits a violation of all these laws that has been involved in 36 massive frauds costing hundreds of billions of dollars, even more than the money we sent to Ukraine. We've been giving money to the Federal Reserve to Goldman Sachs, and that's, according to Better Markets, one of the leading things. I mean, this guy is supporting the Jewish deep state, the Jewish media, in effect, who is orchestrating these wars, the Jewish foreign policy that has been so destructive, which he was so critical of. How in the world can we vote for him, and how in the world are we going to allow a Trojan horse in our midst that is not a gift to us, but who is actually supporting and is supporting the subversive, it's a subversive element that is totally against all of his main platform or main program points. That's my issue. How do I morally vote for something like that? Not even depending on what's pragmatic or what's not pragmatic, because how do I support a man who's defending and promoting the powers that exist that are destroying America and leading to an existential crisis for Europe? And I was also fighting against and trying to destroy probably the healthiest and the most free and the most normal, and I might say, self-ruling country in the world among white countries, and that's Russia mm-hmm. and its allies.
Right.
What do you think?
So you mentioned leftists attacking you because you're going to help Trump get elected. Their logic is convoluted and incorrect. I want to make three quick points. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, Jill Stein's candidacy very likely is going to hurt Kamala Harris's, is that her name? Chlamydia Harris's chances.
Yeah.
It does. Your endorsement, though, if to the extent you've got influence over people, it's over people who either wouldn't be voting at all because they don't like the choices, or they would be voting for Donald Trump. So your endorsement actually it would take votes away from Donald Trump. It wouldn't be taking votes away from Chlamydia. What I think is very significant, though, is if Trump winds up winning, despite your endorsement of Jill Stein, if Trump winds up winning, the Democrats are going to be the mainstream Democrats are going to be blaming Jill Stein. Well, the Democrats, they'll say Jill Stein cost us votes, that's why we lost. But the pro-Palestinian people in the Democratic Party are going to say we lost because Chlamydia was supporting genocide. And the votes that they look at, they're not going to distinguish between votes that were actually siphoned away from Chlamydia and votes that were siphoned away from World War III Trump, right? Mm-hmm. World War Trump. They're not going to distinguish. So to the extent that we get even our people to vote for Jill Stein, it's going to help the development of an anti-Israel faction in the Democratic Party. And we desperately need anti-Israel people in Congress. So, I think this is a very good thing.
And absolutely.
You know, yeah. And honestly, if Trump were to lose by one vote, and that one vote was my vote because I voted for Jill Stein instead of Trump, I can live with that because right now Trump is not worth voting for. And I can't just trust the plan. I can't just trust that he's secretly going to go with the white hats and QAnon or anything else. I just can't trust that. I have to go based on what he's saying. What he's saying is completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. I think it's... I think that makes sense because I think at this point we have to make choices for the long run because we've had the same drift, the same rundown to total destruction of everything and even possibly nuclear war. And it's like how do we not really confront this stuff? It's like I think it's got to be confronted. You know, I was looking for a video that I wanted to play, and I thought I had it here.
Most people would turn you away. I don't listen to a word they say. They don't see you as I do. I wish they were trying to.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
I was wondering, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like
really can kind of confront this stuff. It's like, I think it's got to be confronted. You know, I was looking for a video that I wanted to play, and I thought I had it here closely. It's like, I think I found it here. Here it is. So here's a, let me see if this quotation is good, but this is an Israeli, this is really amazing. This is a former member of Israeli parliament, right? On television in Israel. And basically, he's quoting this quote allegedly from Adolf Hitler, which is not an actual quote. And if even the fact-checking of this, Hitler never said that every day, every day there's a single Jew left in the world is, a disaster for me. I was also like, I can't stand it. Every day I want to see the last Jew die. Hitler never said this. But then he actually takes this fake quote by Hitler, and he basically says in this long tirade on Israeli television that that's what our position has to be against the Palestinians, the same position that Hitler made. I mean, which is another good example how the Jews are not just Nazis as we define Nazis by the Jewish Hollywood presentation of Nazis, but they're actually worse than the Hollywood presentation of Nazis. Let me see if I can play this for you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it doesn't have the English one. I wish I had the English one. It does have the captions, and this he's basically saying that these Islamo-fascists, these Islamo-Nazis, they must be extirpated. They must be ended. They must be wiped out. And then he quotes alleged quote by Adolf Hitler saying that. Every day that he exists and the last Jew is not dead is a tragedy for him, or this kind of thing, and which is not a true even a true quote, but then he says exactly the same thing. He says that's this position we should have against these Islamo Nazis, right? When basically this guy is expressing a real Nazism, the worst expression of Nazism that could possibly be by Jewish Hollywood. Let me go for it. So we must not be able, we cannot live in this world if one Islamo-Nazi, you can't make it up, is left in Gaza. So he says the Jews have been killed in Hitler's concentration camps, a campaign against them during the pardon me finish that coughing. Let me finish. I just was coughing. Jews were killed in Hitler's campaign against them during World War II. And he goes on to say, this is on Israeli national television. And he says, and so then he basically says that he's taking the words of Hitler saying, this is what we need to do to the Palestinians. Now, the interesting thing is when people say, in fact, Blumenthal called it a Nazi government. It is a Nazi government. It's a Jewish Nazi government. It's not necessarily what real National Socialism was under Hitler, obviously, but it's the worst presentation possibly of that. But the difference is that you have Jews like this on Israeli national television saying that we've got to kill all the people of Gaza. We got to burn them all, wipe them out, just like the Nazis did. And that Hitler, in effect, said that he couldn't live while there was a single Jew alive in Europe, which is a big, terrible lie. And again, they always make up these lies about their enemies. But he said, but just as Hitler said that, we have to have that opinion. He was justifying the mass murder and genocide of Gazans, Palestinians, by saying that Hitler felt that way about Jews. So therefore, we have to kill all the Palestinians. You can't make up this stuff, can you, doctor? I mean, it's just really amazing how they do this, and yet it's not called out by any mainstream media. That should be on ABC, NBC, CBS, BBC. They should be playing this from Israeli television, a former member of the Knesset, and they should play this on television and show the absolute Nazi character of them, and it's a Nazism that is way more extreme. And of course, even the quote by Hitler is not a true quote whatsoever. But they actually are justifying their position because of lies they make up about Hitler's quotes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So it's very interesting. They're justifying their position based on lies about Hitler, and whether they were justifying it based on lies about Hitler or even realities, whatever. The fact is they're holding up Hitler and Nazis and the Holocaust as justification for the most extreme things that they're doing. And this is why I think it's so important that people stop invoking the damn Nazis and Hitler and all this. I say damn Nazis, but I'm so sick of this. Stop invoking the stories of the Jews, the enemies of the Jews, stop invoking South Africa. Stop invoking Jim Crow and segregation. Stop invoking all these stories where, oh, by the way, the bad guys are the bad guys are white people. Stop invoking this stuff when you're talking about it. Don't call Israel Nazis. Don't call them, because it plays into this whole narrative. So we've just got to
call them out for what they're doing.
There's nothing in official Nazi lore or rhetoric or publications or speeches that ever say we got to kill Jewish women and children and babies and burn them alive. However, Jews constantly are evoking the bombing of Dresden and saying we should have done that, right? And even Piers Morgan has defended that, in effect, because those Nazis were trying to take over the world, which is not, that's also bullshit. They weren't trying to take over the world. They were trying, the war started over the idea that the Germans in the city of Danzig in the Polish corridor should have self-determination in 90% German lands that are being kept from them by the injustice of the so-called Versailles Treaty. And but, you know, it just goes on and on, this kind of material. I saw a really great video, which I suggest to people. And this is a video called War Crimes in Gaza, how Israel schools militarize children. And this is an interview with a very interesting scholar. And it's an interview with a Jewish woman who is a scholar, Professor Nutrit Palin. And they go into, this is a teacher in Israel, and she points out how the Holocaust basically is used to justify absolute genocide, murder, hatred, and genocidal feelings against Palestinians, and how Jewish children are traumatized. But this is true about American children now, too, and British children, and French children, and European children. Primarily, that's where you get the biggest dose of Holocaust propaganda in the Western countries that Jews control, because they also want to inoculate any sort of Westerner from any idea that maybe Jews are the organized Jewish establishment, the Jewish deep state, is doing things that are damaging to the world and to the countries in which they dwell. So let me play a little bit of this. How are we doing on time from your end, Dr. Slattery, from the beginning of our call?
I think say we've got another 13 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's go with this for a little while.
Lightless, starved Palestinians who are suddenly have the image of almighty Nazis. Okay? So I think this is the main thing.
She's talking about comparing the Palestinians
and
Nazis.
I observed the shift in language from the beginning, right after October 7th, it was ISIS, Netanyahu. And then after, I don't know, a couple of weeks.
By the way, it should be pointed out, ironically, they portrayed Palestinians like ISIS, and yet the record is clear. We have the Israeli newspaper headlines, which I've shared on my Gab and shared on my website, and quoted and screenshot and everything else. The leaders of the Jewish military, leaders of the Jewish government of the Jewish state of Israel, saying we want ISIS to win. And they supported the invasion of Syria, their enemy, by literally ISIS and Al-Qaeda forces that were, in fact, beheading children and other adults by the thousands. They killed a lot of Palestinian people. They killed a lot of Christians in Syria, and as well as Muslims in Syria, with even beheadings. And Israel supported ISIS, which is another good example of the hypocrisy. Let me go on here.
It changed indeed to Nazis. Which indicates that that's a conscious strategy. Yeah, they're trying to maximize. To maximize on what they already have indoctrinated.
Yes, and soldiers think we are going to get the Nazis and so on. They don't even know, most of them, I believe, who the Nazis were, but same, you know.
So I think that's one of the reasons why what happened October the 7th, and I think we can agree, I spoke with a number of subject matter experts on this topic, it really went to, I don't want to say the subconscious, but it really went to the core of Jewishness, this attack from October the 7th, because it's kind of a self-fulfilling, but a fulfilling prophecy, right? They want to get us, right?
No, it's also, they didn't do it because of the siege. They didn't do it because they were starved by us. They didn't do it because we destroyed their water system and they saw the swimming pools and the sprinkles in the kibbutzim. No, they did it because we're Jewish. And everybody accepts that. You see, they are the Third Reich. Okay, these starved boys who came to rape and kill, and I mean, that they were crazed, that they were horrible. But the context, they take it out of context. They do it also in the books and in matriculation exams. They give you a list of terrorist attacks by Palestinians without context. And they say these attacks made Israelis identify with Holocaust survivors. And then they ask about it in the matriculation exam. Choose one event and say how this event made Israelis identify with Holocaust survivors. And this is in a chapter that is called The Formation of Holocaust Remembrance. So all you have there are these, you know, Palestinian terrorist attacks without context. And they did it because we are Jewish. That's all. And then our Jewishness, I mean, the vulnerability and the weakness, etc., came to. Also, during the Gulf War, everybody was sure we are Yeshua. Yeah, this is it. This is the main factor.
And it's not only Israelis, yeah? So right after October the 7th.
Yeah, everybody falls into the trap, of course.
Yeah. Every interview that I saw in the first, virtually every single interview started with the question, what do you think about October the 7th? Yeah, like if there's no prehistory. Yeah, and then of course Guterres, UN General Secretary, was heavily criticized. Yeah, he was even requested to step down for his comments that October the 7th did not happen in a vacuum. Right?
Yeah, it's very hard for people, and of course Israel is, and you know, the IRA definition of anti-Semitism and so on. It all helps. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you briefly want to explain. So IRA has a very interpretable definition of
anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism and anti-Israel is the same thing. So if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic, and it works.
That's the question that I'm asking myself. Yeah, I mean, you can call an apple an orange as often as you like, but the apple will never become an orange. It will always stay an apple. So you can conflate anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism. But
everybody does. The German government does. The American government does. American universities do. In Holland, they do. In England, they do. Everywhere in France.
Yeah, but this is top down. I completely get the strategy, because with that strategy, you stifle any valid critic against the state of Israel. I completely understand why the leadership who are pro-Israel do that. Yeah, but that's why I say
it. This whole interview is very, very valuable, Doctor, but we don't have time to hear it all. I'll take one show to listen to it. But she really talks about the Holocaust, and what I didn't get to play was the fact that she was talking about how Israeli children from the time were 3 or 4 years old, and it's American children now too, and French children and British children, even though because of child pornography, we never allow the photographs of completely naked children, obviously. And it's certainly not in terrible throes of death or a structure piled up in mass murder or something like that. And yet she says that these photographs are shown to 3, 4, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old Jewish children constantly in Israel. But it's not just Jewish children. I brought up the same thing in my book, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism, where I literally talked about the fact that we would never show pictures of naked women, for that matter, when I grew up. But suddenly I was seeing pictures of naked bodies in the worst throes of death imaginably, because it was the Holocaust. And I do believe that this was an inoculation of people against any sort of criticism of Jewish power or criticism of what happened in Palestine. And the reason why the Holocaust propaganda was really pounced on by the mass media, the Jewish-controlled mass media in the world, the biggest TV networks making the Holocaust movie, whatever they call docudrama for a series of days, and all these other things, was to stifle any criticism and make an emotional connection of supporting the Jews and their crimes against the Palestinians. Your thoughts, sir?
So I want just clarify, who was the guest and who was the host, and what platform was that? Was that audio from?
That was actually on YouTube. But he's had some censorship before. Now, this guy's name is, let me see if I can catch his name for you so I can get it right.
And what nationality is he?
I don't know. He's got an accent. That's not it. I didn't mean to lose that. Sorry about that.
Is there, right?
So let me see here.
The woman's an Israeli.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what nationality is.
Okay.
I really don't know. But the interview was incredible, and his insight was very good too. He's done a lot of good things.
I heard most of the words. There was like a little bit that I missed, and so I just want to confirm. This woman. Is she critical? She was being critical of Israelis, but just saying how they think.
She was talking about how the Holocaust. She said the Holocaust is more important to the mindset of Israelis and many other people in the world, by the way. She said that too, in a sense, of Israelis than Zionism, than Judaism, or anything. The Holocaust is like a new religion.
Was she saying it critically?
Yes, critically.
Okay, good. All right, I just wanted to make sure because like I missed a tiny bit of it. But she's making the same point that I was making. Stop talking about this because the Jews really believe they believe the Holocaust and it's the biggest event in world history and that it doesn't. So it's been said that some Arab guy said recently that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Some Arab guy said recently that October 7th, nothing could ever justify October 7th, but October 7th justifies everything. But really, you could say that about the Holocaust, and that would be that would explain pretty much everything about our era, that nothing could ever justify the Holocaust, whatever that was. But the Holocaust justifies everything. And of course, we don't even know what it is because we're not allowed to investigate it. You're not allowed to study it as you would any other historical event. Any other historical event you can take a critical look at, but not the Holocaust. It's illegal in most countries where you would be doing primary research. And we don't exactly even know what happened. We don't really know what the death totals were. And you can't talk about the context. I'm always saying that it is exaggerated, embellished, decontextualized, and lately I've been adding weaponized to that. So exaggerated, you have to say 6 million. Even Raoul Hildeberg, not that he was necessarily the most accurate, but he's considered the godfather of Holocaust studies. He had it with his methodology, which was one that would tend to overestimate, and he said 5.1 million. So 6 million is already an exaggeration from that. The real death toll might be a lot lower, but certainly there's exaggerations, embellishments. I mean, we've heard all sorts of things, lampshades and right. soap and...
Which has actually turned out to be fakes.
I heard all sorts of things that at one point were more or less accepted, and then they had to be rejected.
The classic quotation of Norman Fickle. Let me inject here a little bit.
I don't know. How much embellishment? I don't know, but there's some. And then decontextual.
Well, let me tell you, let me just interject one quick quote from Norman Finkelstein where he talks about the obvious frauds that exist in the Holocaust propaganda mills, you know, the Holocaust industry. He said, those obvious, massive, obvious frauds and ridiculous allegations against the Germans would make anyone question different aspects of the Holocaust, considering the fraudulent promotions in mainstream media about these things. So even he said that mm-hmm. it said that, you know, whatever the truth is of it, the frauds that have been committed by the Holocaust industry and media just make absolutely – it makes it easy for people to doubt some of the fundamental premises of the Holocaust ideology or the Holocaust religion today is a better way to put it, isn't it?
And then to finish up, because we only have a minute or so, decontextualized, no context. So you're not allowed to talk about, well, what about the 27 million Russians who died? Look how many other people died. Or you're also not allowed to talk about, well, why were people afraid of Jews? You're not allowed to talk about
the 11 million Germans who died.
The Russian Revolution or the Bolshevik revolutions that didn't last in Bavaria and Hungary. You're not allowed to talk about the context. And finally, it's weaponized like crazy. So thanks for having me, Dr. Duke.
Well, thanks for being with me today, Doctor, and we'll see you again soon, I'm sure. Go to daviddukedave.com and support our efforts. Also, go to my Gab at Real David Duke, my Odyssey at Real David Duke. Watch some of my original videos that deal with a lot of these subjects. Appreciate you all, and I wish you all the very, very best. And let's go out and vote our conscience, and let's understand something. There is no greater threat to America, the American people, the European people, and the people of all mankind. We're not going to censor that off like the media did in some of my quotes about voting for Jill Stein. And all mankind that is posed by Jewish supremacy over the global media, over myths of global banking, and over the power of the United States, the one military power, the superpower of the world. This is damaging not only against the entire world, but against the American people themselves and the European people ourselves. Love y'all, and I'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
Often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's XTENDOVITE.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-